Warning, this show contains strong language and topics that some viewers may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, wrestling fans, and welcome to another edition of the Supla at Supla City. I am Andy Kwan, and with me at this time is Sam Brooks.
Welcome to another edition of the Supla, Supla City. I am Andy Kwan.
That's not what I said.
2016. Who else is with us, Fuckface?
And with us is Fuckface 2, Liam Dunn.
You know what's sad? He can actually do an intro, right? He can do a proper intro. If you go back and watch the episode where we were on Hereward Radio, he can actually do it properly. But for some reason, when it comes to here, he just cocks up. He can't do it.
I think it's because I was in a professional setting, and right now I'm not, so I'm just like, why am I mocking myself? Anyway, so, what are we talking about today,
well,
Sam?
Firstly, before we move on, we're talking to me first.
We'd avoid this again. Just stop it.
Hang on. First, I just want to give a little plug to whatculture.com. I've been working with them for the past couple of weeks. You might have probably seen a couple of my videos. Two of them have gone to over 1 million views. What have you done recently, Andy? Oh, yeah, you still have a streak. Anyway, not that I'm judging or anything, but...
I helped too, by the way.
I was literally about to say that.
What the streak was happening?
Sam has also been helping. He's done a couple of those Photoshops. He's also done some assistant editing. And one that's going up very soon that I can't talk about yet. Sam edited half of it, which I thoroughly appreciate because I was so under it with technical issues that Sam took over. So, and Sam, you said it was a bit surreal seeing it.
Oh, yeah. You know, you actually do work on a podcast for so long, Andy. And then you see something that you've half edited go up and get 1 million views. I mean, Andy, isn't that great, Andy?
It's the best. Mm. I do a lot of work here.
Yeah. You don't just...
I wrote an article, damn it! You can go to supla.com right now. The first edition ever of Kwan's Corner went up. Go read it.
Yeah, go read it. It's actually pretty good.
Do you
want to
discuss what it's about? Do you want to talk about what
it's about? I don't want to spoil it for the people. View it. Go read it.
It's not about spaff, is it?
No, nothing to... Right, I can guarantee this. This has my guarantee. The word spaff is not mentioned once. It's a miracle. Go read it.
What did you think? Because I don't really like to admit it, but I did the top 10 sexual moments in WWE video on What Culture, and one of the little hidden Easter eggs for Supla fans and Andy Kwan is Sonny's spaff cakes, which got through. No one said anything, and it's got through, and it's got over a quarter of 1 million views in like
spaff cakes. Oh my god, you should put spaffle cakes, not spaff cakes.
No, Sonny's spaff cakes. It works so much better.
Sonny's spaff cakes.
Hey, who came up with that, by the way?
That was Sam who came up with
that
it.
That was me.
But I put the graphic together.
He did. So, you know, it's a collaborative effort. Andy wasn't involved
at all. I also did
the
Roman Reigns talk.
No. I originated spaff, right?
No, you didn't. Your ex-girlfriend did.
So, without me... spaff wouldn't be a thing.
I think Sam
showed
this on the screen right now as proof that it is. That is the Supla little hidden Easter egg in a massive What Culture video. So we're going to continue a tradition here that we have on the Supla starting in 2016. It's probably one of my favourite things in the world. It is the riddle. Andy Kwan's riddles. We haven't got an official name for it. We just test him with these things. So apologies. This isn't really a segment. It's just to prove how stupid he is. But, Andy, are you prepared for this one? Because, you know, you've won a couple, and that's genuinely surprised me. You've actually got a couple correct. That's worried me. I feel like you're actually...
Why is that surprising to you?
Well, bearing in mind his riddle streak, the second streak that this man has, is actually up to 6-2. The second number has to at least surpass the first one before it can be considered impressive.
No. The fact that he's even got two... impresses me, because I didn't think he'll get that. I think it would stay at zero, maybe one at most. He's got two. That's two more than I expected for him to get.
I do have a degree,
because
Sam,
of that.
Whoa!
Because of that.
That's stupid!
I've decided I'm going to test Andy with the single hardest riddle.
No, don't be a lemon. Don't be that guy.
Please be a lemon, Liam. I would love to hear him struggle to solve this for about 10 minutes.
It's not even a long one, right? So you shouldn't ask for it to be repeated. So it's not even a long one, okay?
Right.
Are you ready? Are you prepared?
No, give me a minute. What do you think?
Right. Listen carefully.
Oh, yes, of course.
You have died and are in limbo. There are two doors in front of you. One door leads to heaven, and the other door leads to hell.
Okay.
There are two guardians, one by each door. One guardian always tells the truth, and the other guardian always lies.
Okay.
What one question can you ask a guardian to find out which door leads to heaven?
Can you repeat that?
Okay, so what do you ask to get into heaven? Okay.
No, get the door to heaven.
To get the right door.
The door to get... what do you ask when you to get into heaven? I don't know, that's a different question. That's not the riddle I'm asking.
Does God live here?
No, because one tells the truth and one lies. So one will say yes and the other will say yes.
Oh, shit.
I love this song. It's so nice to listen
to. I've heard this riddle before! And I can't remember what the fucking answer is! Oh, God! What do you say? I can't remember! I've heard this one before! What do you say? What the fuck?
We can only tell him it after 2 minutes.
Mm. Okay, so... the one that guards hell lies and the one that guards heaven is telling the truth, right?
Yes.
So, logically, then...
But you don't know which one's which.
They stood by the door!
Yeah, but you can't tell which one's which. You can't tell which one's
heaven. It's not like the door on the left has heaven written above it and the door on the right has hell. That's the point of a riddle. They're identical doors. You have to determine which door leads where. What do you ask?
If I had a little sign saying heaven, I think it'd be a bit obvious which one's the door.
Does the sign lie too?
Anything, Quan? Literally anything other than silence would be impeccable right now.
I don't...
Just have a guess. Just have a...
Get riddles when I'm not on this fucking show, but for some reason, as soon as I put a headset on, I turn to an idiot. I don't know. Okay, so you can't directly ask them, because that's just stupid. One's going to lie to me anyway. I hate fucking riddles. Can we stop this shit?
No, really, really think about it. Really think about the entire process that you have right in front of you.
Do you want me to repeat it?
How would that help?
I don't know.
Just repeat the facts.
Okay. There are two doors in front of you. One leads to heaven, one leads to hell. Both are guarded by a guardian, right? The one that's guarding hell always lies. The one that guards heaven always tells the truth. What is the one question...
You ask the one who tells the truth which one is which.
But how do you know who's telling the truth? If you can see who was telling the truth and who was lying, then there's no riddle!
I'm gonna give him another minute before we tell him the answer.
You have to ask the guard something,
Yes! Well, that's why I said, what do you ask them? That's kind of the
point. I don't know! It's gotta be something to do with, are you from heaven? But you gotta word it in a way that they're gonna say... I can't fucking think the way you
throw out as many answers as you can in the next 40 seconds.
I don't know. I give up. I quit. I don't know. I'm throwing in the towel. Fuck this. We have a show to do, but this isn't the riddle show. We talk about wrestling, so fuck this. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll put him out of his misery. This is clearly too difficult for him. If it makes you feel any better, Andy, when I first read it, I couldn't get it myself.
Oh, yeah, great. That reassures me. Thanks, mate. Cheers.
But that's why I picked it, because I saw that you were getting some wins. So I was like, we've got to up the ante a little bit here. Okay. The question that you ask the Guardians, if I asked the other Guardian which door leads to heaven,
I fucking knew that.
What would he tell me?
If you knew it, why didn't you say it?
Because I couldn't think!
Oh, yeah, the theory of relativity. Yeah, I fucking knew that. I can't think of all the supla!
Oh, basic quantum physics. Oh, yeah, I totally knew that. I just couldn't think of it. God, Andy.
So, for those who don't understand, the door that the Guardian specifies will be the one that leads to hell. So you know the other one leads to heaven. This is because if you ask the Guardian who tells the truth this question, he will tell the truth and that the other Guardian will lie and show
you... Okay, give me another riddle!
If he asks the Guardian that always lies, he will lie by showing you the door to hell because the other Guardian will show you the door to heaven.
I want another riddle now! All or nothing!
No.
No, you've lost.
So that brings up the streak to 10-2. Show the graphic. All right. It's a shameful thing, Andy. It really is.
At least you've got 2 out of 12.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, that's something.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
It could be worse. Could be 10-0.
Could be.
Well, actually, it'd be 12-0, wouldn't it?
Oh, well done, genius! Brain of fucking Britain over here! Can't count to 12! Fuck it.
He's in a bad mood because he couldn't.
I'm in a fantastic mood now.
So, before we actually talk about what we're here to talk about today, we're going to talk about what some of our fans had to say to us regarding last week's episode, where we talked about the WrestleMania build and why we just don't care about it. Liam, what are your particular thoughts about the WrestleMania build so far?
I like some of it. I don't like all of it. I think that it's got a strong undercard. Undertaker and Shane is going to be the big emotional match of the night. It might not be the most technically sound match. It might not be the most action-packed match, but it kind of reminds me weirdly of WrestleMania 28 when Undertaker faced Triple H in a Hell in a Cell match. It wasn't the most amazing match put together, but it was the emotion behind it that really made it what it was, and I feel that's what the Shane Undertaker match is going to be. I think we've got 2 tag team matches going, which is interesting. The tag team's getting some more love. The women actually have a decent match by the looks of it for once in the Triple Threat Divas match, which I think I might be wrong on this. Don't hold me to this. I think I might be wrong, but is it the first time the Divas title's on the line at WrestleMania?
There was that one Battle Royal at WrestleMania 30, but that doesn't really count because it was a Battle Royal. So
this is basically the first actual time that the Divas Championship is going to be on the line at WrestleMania. And it's a triple
pretty
threat
much.
Match. And it's Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, and Charlotte Flair. I mean, that's a pretty good matchup. At least there's no sort of Eva Marie models thrown in there. You know, it's actual 3 women wrestlers. So that's good. I'm very looking forward to the Brock Lesnar-Dean Ambrose match. I think that could steal the show. I'm interested about the 7-man ladder match, although a part of me just thinks, why don't they just bring back Money in the Bank to WrestleMania?
You know,
this is the second time in a year that they've had a multi-man ladder match. Why not just bring back the Money in the Bank?
And also, why include the other, 5 people when you can just have Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens?
Well, here's the thing, Andy. You want that legendary Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn match to happen at WrestleMania, sure. Why give it away about a month after Zayn has debuted? We don't even know his backstory yet. We don't know why these two hate each other.
Yeah,
not everyone has seen NXT, no one's going
to
know.
The other thing as well is that you've got to have your big spot monkey match at WrestleMania, right? With Money in the Bank, that was a guarantee, and they scrapped Money in the Bank for WrestleMania to make it its own event. And then WrestleMania didn't really have any major spot moments. So they kind of brought it back in a way with the IC title always being on the line in the ladder match with 20,000 people, including the fans, being involved in the match.
It's like the hardcore title. You can win it if you pin anybody.
Yeah. So that's kind of why they've done it. I agree with Sam. I don't think this is the time to give away the Sami Zayn Kevin Owens match. It's a chance to allow people like Zayn and Kevin Owens to have their WrestleMania debut with people like The Miz, who has main evented WrestleMania, Dolph Ziggler, who's a veteran. It gives them more of an opportunity, I think. And yeah, you'll get some WrestleMania moments out of it. Who won't want to see Sami Zayn jumping off the ladder onto like six other people?
Crazy people.
Exactly. So I think, Andy, this is why you shouldn't be a booker for WWE, because you'd make this the main event straight away. And oh yes, all the fans will love this. And I'm sure that the hardcore wrestling fans would, but I don't think it's really I don't think it's WrestleMania worthy just yet.
No, yeah, you got to give it a little bit of time in the oven. But speaking of dumb things that Andy has said,
My fucking hand.
Great. Heartbreak Kid 101 says, I think you should keep track of everything stupid, Andy says, and on the last day of every month, add them up and see what the total is.
Oh God, no! That we don't have enough time for that. We don't have enough time. There's not enough hours in the month for that.
Not even enough hours in the day, I'm afraid.
What do you mean, stupid things I say? Like,
oh, where do we begin? Where do
what
we
did
begin?
What did I say in that last episode that was stupid?
Feed me more.
Welcome.
Feed me more.
And it's Bullet Club versus The Shield actually responded to Heartbreak Kid 101 and said, what would be better is if the rest of the Super Crew challenge Andy to not say anything stupid and idiotic. Andy is WWE's Ryback on Twitter.
The problem with that is that Andy doesn't know when he says something stupid.
He doesn't know that he inflicts this amount of pain on everyone with, I don't know, triple-digit IQs.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I have a degree that I don't do anything with. Great, Andy. That's phenomenal, mate.
I can do riddles, but when I come on the show and I put on a headset, I forget everything.
It's the headset.
You basically blamed your headset for not being able to solve a riddle.
You blamed an inanimate object.
No. I meant I couldn't deal with the pressure because I don't know.
What pressure? It's two friends of yours in their bedrooms on Skype. It's not like a live studio audience of 10,000 people.
And you're not on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire asking the final question.
I'd be fucked on that, wouldn't I? I'd be out after 100 quid!
Can I phone a friend on question one?
Andy, this is still fastest finger first. How can I ask the audience then?
Can I have 50-50, please?
Well, this is strange. The audience have the fastest fingers, so it looks like all of the audience will be playing this episode.
Is that program still on?
I don't know, maybe. You gotta keep Chris Tarrant employed, right? But, you know, gentlemen, it's a sad state of affairs that we're in when Bray Wyatt, regardless of how you feel about the man has faced John Cena and The Undertaker at WrestleMania, right? Mm-hmm. The sad fact is, he's not on the card, but Zack Ryder is. Well, can we just take a moment to really think about this situation?
I would disagree. I think it's because Wyatt is currently injured. It's not. I mean, I'm not a fan, and I've made it very vocal. Myself and Andy have made it very vocal that we don't like the Wyatts. We think that WWE has cocked them up massively. There's no threat about them, and they're cryptic for the sake of being cryptic, as opposed to having any substance behind their messages. You know, you could, Bray, you can come out and say whatever you want. You could say that your ass is made of cheese and say it really cryptically and creepily, and that's fine. You can do that, but if you don't back it up by proving that your ass is made of cheese, then it's just empty. There's nothing there. There's no substance.
There's no ass there.
There's no cheese there.
Nope.
So, I think that, I don't know, I think they've lost, I don't think they really know what they want to do with Bray Wyatt. I think they just want to make him creepy, but don't really know how to pay it off.
Oh yeah, he's a victim of bad booking in general, which M. Gunter also brought up. I believe I said, this fall from grace hasn't really happened to anyone else before in WrestleMania history. He actually brought up the point of King Kong Bundy, who went from main event against Stevie Richards to a 6-man midget tag match at WrestleMania 3. You know, there's a reason why I forgot about that.
Didn't Stevie Richards win a lawsuit so we can keep calling him, you know, the other name?
What, Stevie Richards? His actual name? Because Stevie Richards headlined multiple WrestleManias and body slammed Andre.
So is everyone right? Stevie Richards now?
You know what? I'd rather live in a world with Stevie Richards than Chris Benoit and Hulk Hogan.
But
I'd rather live in a world with Stevie Richards.
Chris problem, Hogan who?
The problem with the King Kong Bundy one is because... Well, there's a couple of things. The main thing was WrestleMania 2. WrestleMania 2 is infamous for just being god-awful, right? It was held in 3 separate locations over, like, 5 hours. It was held in, like, New York, LA, and some other place that I can't quite remember.
Was it Philadelphia?
It might have been. I don't know. So
probably.
It was
Chicago.
It was all over the country. And then it was also, weirdly enough, I didn't realize this until earlier today, it was held on a Monday. It wasn't on a Sunday. WrestleMania 2 was on a Monday. That's weird.
The fuck?
Random fact. Nothing to do with Bundy, but it's just a random WrestleMania fact for you there. So
WrestleMania Monday.
You can put up a little graphic there. Random WrestleMania facts for you.
Boom.
So, yeah, I think Bundy was in a bad place at a bad time, and Hogan will always be protected because he's Hogan, so he was always going to be safe. I just think Bundy I think WrestleMania entirely dropped the ball, and because he was supposed to be the main event, and they saw that it wasn't really well received, and I think they might have thrown blame on Bundy, and that's why he got what he did. But I think he went on to face The Undertaker at WrestleMania and lost, so I mean, not all that bad for Bundy.
No, I mean, many great men have lost to The Undertaker.
It's not like Zack Ryder, who interfered in the main event of WrestleMania 24, never to be seen at WrestleMania again.
Right.
So.
Wait, what?
Oh, he was one of the Edgeheads.
He was one of the Edgeheads, and he interfered in the main event of WrestleMania 24.
And now he's in the Intercontinental title match.
I think he had a match at WrestleMania 27 when he was, like, part of a 20-man tag team match.
Oh, yeah, the 20-man tag match thing, didn't he?
Yeah.
By kicking him in his bro-nads.
Oh, it was WrestleMania 28, I think. Sorry, it might have been WrestleMania 28.
Is that
yeah,
the one
whatever
with...
the shit one is.
Yeah, that was the one with Laurinaitis versus Teddy Long.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where the Bellas split up. Like, one Bella was like, I'm Team Johnny. And the other one's like, I bet you're fucking Team Johnny, aren't you, Nikki? Sorry. references. And then Brie was like, I'm Team... Fucking, I don't give a shit. No one cared. No one cared. And I just thought, I can't care now. I didn't care then when it happened. So why would I care now? Well, I'm not going to talk about it. There's no point. It's a waste of my time.
So I got a final comment here that says, it's a shame this is supposed... Oh, sorry. This is from Young Father.
Young Father?
I forgot. Young Father.
Andy?
I'm not a dad! You? Why do you keep saying that? For fuck's sake!
So we got a comment from Not Andy Kwan, Young Father, who says, it's a shame this is supposed to be one of the biggest, if not the biggest, WrestleManias of all time. It will be funny, though, when Reigns wins and people boo the shit out of Vince.
The thing is, he's assuming something. He's assuming the fans are going to stick around for it.
Yeah, really.
I got to admit, if I was there, I'd probably walk after the Dean Ambrose match or the Undertaker match, whichever one is the last one before.
Basically, the penultimate match at WrestleMania 32 is the real main event. Everyone else will walk out after that's done because we don't care.
It's 100,000 people into one stadium, and then the main event is going to be Triple H, who shouldn't even be there. The guy should be retired, and Roman Reigns, who he's just got no charisma. How is bringing 100,000 people?
It's the first time in WrestleMania history, empty arena match.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns,
believe me, you don't have faith in the audience to empty out the arena that quickly. Well, you'll believe it when you'll see it, when it happens.
They'll just all run. They'll just be like, "Fucking, that's it. We're going there." Bye.
No, 100,000 people will just go. I must go now. My planet needs me.
And they just like fly through the ring.
And Roman Reigns is just looking around like, "What the hell?
The fuck did I just see?"
The audience died on the way back to their home planets. What a sight to see, Maggle.
But I have just spinning off that really quickly, talking about WrestleMania. I just thought, why haven't they ever done the Raw after WrestleMania from the same location?
because that would be clever.
Can you imagine 100,000 people at Raw? That'd look spectacular on television.
Yep, that would make sense.
I mean, if you were channel surfing that, I mean, I don't know, maybe it's just too costly for a Raw, but if you were channel surfing that and you came across Raw and it had 100,000 people, that you'd be like, holy crap.
But the thing is as well, is it's like the same people are going to be there who were at Mania.
Yeah.
Why don't you just do it at the same venue?
And then you can do a package deal where you have WrestleMania and Raw bundled into one.
Because they're trying to make a big deal out of the Raw after Mania anyway, so...
Yeah, well, to me, that just makes sense. Have it at the same location, make a bundle out of it. Okay, instead of it being £200 dollars for a ticket at WrestleMania, make it $300 and you get Raw the next night.
But they won't.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm not the one booking out the arena that they're booking out in Texas. I don't know how much it costs to even book that out.
That's got to be loads, surely.
But I'm sure they have the funds. I'm sure WWE has the pocket money.
All based on Andy's network subscription.
Really? Because no matter how much he hates the product, he's never going to cancel it. Never, ever.
Because NXT exists, and they deserve my paycheck.
Yeah, NXT people, Andy.
Right. To be fair, though, if I may, Andy, Andy's had a little financial issues recently, bless him. So we've decided that me and him will go halves on his account. Reluctantly, it took him about 2 weeks to agree. Yes, only to share an account that's only £10. It took him 2 weeks to agree to, right?
Andy Kwan in a nutshell, really.
So even though I said, I'll pay you half, he was like, I don't know, okay? You might do something. I'm like, what would I do? It's a network. I can't do anything except watch things. Anyway, regardless.
You might change my wallpaper to Benoit.
there are enough wallpapers on the network, Andy.
But regardless, I've joined the network now, kind of, halfway. I've actually enjoyed a lot of the original programming, specifically the Monday Night War series has been pretty amazing. There's been a couple of filler episodes, like there was an episode dedicated to Chris Jericho. Didn't really need a whole episode to him, but it was a good, it's been a good series, and I'm literally on the last episode now, and I'm a bit sad. I'm like, I don't want to finish it in a way. It's been very interesting.
It's like at the end of Breaking Bad.
It is, but the thing is that you look at the Monday Night War, it's much different because it's like a real thing. It
but
was real.
Drugs are not real, Liam?
No, but Breaking Bad wasn't real. Whereas the Monday Night War... Look, anyway, we're not talking about the network. We're here to talk about... Andy Kwan, you fill in the gap here.
TNA. It's been a while, hasn't it?
Oh, it has God. Been an absolute age since we've spoken about TNA. We were famous for it for a while, to be just the podcast that ranted about TNA. And then we stopped because we basically stopped watching the product.
Well, basically, we just couldn't be arsed complaining.
Yeah, you know, we talk about people just being stale and repetitive, and then we're kind of falling into it ourselves.
But unfortunately, something has happened. Bobby!
Roode!
And Eric Young have left TNA. Two of their biggest stars that are still there are now gone.
So they're not still there then, are they, Andy?
I said they're gone.
Two of their biggest stars who are still there are not there.
I meant who were still
and
there.
This is why now... people were
put there. That in the one column for stupid Andy. Fucking hell.
We should just keep a stupid Andy counter in every episode we do.
Yeah, it was up. It was up. I put it up there.
Oh, good.
Bing! There it is. Happy now, Jesus. Right.
So why have Bobby Roode and EY Eric Young left their company that they've been with for over a decade?
Well, to put it in layman's terms, Bobby Roode felt like he wanted more pay because he's been there forever and they weren't paying him the same. So he's like, I'm off. And Eric Young was kind of the same thing. It's like, I've been here since basically the beginning and you're not paying me what I think I deserve to be paid, what I feel like I'm worth, I'm off. Okay, thanks, bye.
And here's a key thing to point out here. It's believed that they were offering Bobby Roode and Eric Young the same amount of money as newcomers and part-timers in TNA.
Are you fucking kidding me? They've been there from the beginning! Mm? The beginning!
Yeah, no, they're paying them, they offered them as much as they would pay the new guys or part-timers. What part-timers are there in TNA anyway?
Is it Bobby Lashley who's a part-timer there?
I believe so. So they're paying one Bobby about as much as the other Bobby, and the other Bobby wasn't happy about the other Bobby being paid Bobby. So Bobby left.
Bobby. Is this another riddle? I'm confused. What are you talking about? So the
if
point
Bobby
is
was paid Bobby and Bobby was also paid Bobby, how much Bobby would Bobby have Bobby? Bobby.
Bobby would have Bobby Bobby.
Bobby Bobby.
Bobby Bobby Bobby.
Eric Young.
Okay. So the point is that like, I don't understand why they wouldn't be paid loads. This guy, well, they're both former world champions, for God's sake. God, that hurt my head how Eric Young was a world champion. But yeah, they're both former world champs. Why don't you pay them enough?
I mean, you think about it like this, okay? TNA's biggest stars have gone over to NXT. Even James Storm, briefly, went over to NXT before he came back. You gotta think to yourself, I know there's only a certain amount of funds that an energy company can provide, but you think they would at least pay the people who have been there since day one, almost, enough to keep them there.
But I think we're also missing another thing here that's going on. With people like Samoa Joe and AJ Styles and Austin Aries, these former TNA stars that have now gone over to WWE and found success themselves, well, not even just in WWE, just look at what AJ Styles did. You can't help but imagine that maybe the grass is now greener on the other side. There's no secret that TNA, I don't want to say it's a sinking ship, because that's giving the impression that it's going to go out of business. And we've been predicting that for about 8 years, and it's kind of like that relative you just want to let, you know, die, and they won't go, right? That's what TNA is. So you can't help but think that maybe they've realised that the product is stale. They've said that themselves.
But Bobby Roode actually said that himself.
Yeah, there's no secret that the company has been, it's crap, right? The product's crap. The company's just, it's so badly mismanaged. I don't know how it's still afloat. I mean, you know, I really don't. So you can't help but think that this is their way. They want to go out and do other things and probably make more money, make themselves bigger stars, or possibly try out WWE with NXT. Because NXT would be a very similar schedule to what they used to with TNA, but it's with the WWE, which is a far more marketable brand.
And not to mention the fact that NXT, not specifically the NXT brand, is a much cooler place to be than TNA.
Yeah.
How many viewers at home watch TNA? Very few compared to NXT, which not only has, I believe it is televised, isn't it not?
It's televised overseas, but it's only on the network in America.
So you have overseas television, which is already pretty good because overseas people love the wrestling just as much as the Americans. And in America, you get it streamed online. So you have a better online presence than if you were in TNA. That's pretty good exposure.
You can get NXT in this country on the network.
Exactly. The network is the key to getting exposed nowadays. This is why this new Cruiserweight series is going to be so great. It's because it's letting people who are underutilized and underappreciated in TNA, or any other company for that matter, the opportunity to get more exposure.
And it's booming. TNA, these are Bobby Roode's exact words, which I'm reading off my phone. It says, I'm not sure if TNA was the right fit for me anymore. The brand has been stale for the last little while, and the growth wasn't there as it was in the early years. Which is true. They haven't done anything new since. Hogan era, but then
I'll tell you what the killer is, right? TNA starts off in 2002, and for, I'd say, about 6-7 years, it really started to grow. They would be, they were consistently putting on better performances than WWE. They were putting on better storylines and generally a better product in a much smaller area, right? They were in Universal Studios, so they didn't have as much money. It was something, it felt, I don't want to say like an indie show, but it just felt different. It had a different feel to it. And then Hogan and Bischoff come along, and in their infinite wisdom, they get rid of the six-sided ring, which was unique for TNA in America. Yes, there was a promotion in Mexico, I believe, that had a six-sided ring. But TNA made it famous in America. That was their identity. And Hogan and Bischoff get rid of that and only have it as like a one-night pay-per-view thing a year. Then they bring back Russo. Then they try and go national with the touring. Didn't work. Then they try and do the Monday Night War again. Whoa! 2 months later, they have to move because they failed that badly. And it's not been able to recover since. And then what the other thing that hasn't happened is the constant moving of networks. 1 minute, they're on Spike. Then they're on Destination America. Then they're on Pop. Well, they don't have a home. And people, networks don't really want to touch it. This time last year, maybe a couple of more months on top of that, we didn't even know if TNA was even going to have a home. They were worried that they didn't have a new network. And Eric Bischoff puts it brilliantly, again in the Monday Night War, you can have everything you want, but if you don't have a TV slot, the company's worthless.
Yeah. And it's roughly, I'm fully expecting, roughly about now, that we'll get a news story from good old Dave, and Dave will be like, LOL, Pop TV don't want this shit anymore. But the thing is, there was a period of time before Hogan came in and Bischoff and, you know, people that...
The Nasty Boys. Why the Nasty Boys?
Oh, God. Right. I have to go back. I'm playing an EWR game where I'm running TNA during that Monday Night War. That roster is hideous.
Right.
Why in the name of God is Val Venus in TNA?
That's the other thing.
Sorry, Liam. I have to ask.
There!
How many people are in this EWR TNA roster? How many at this time?
There are loads. They've got, like, Raven, Dr. Stevie Richards.
Do you have a number?
Abyss with his magical ring. I fired half the roster, so no.
Well, great. Okay, so point being, there's a lot there. The TNA roster now, someone actually figured it out. They have 25 male wrestlers and 8 female wrestlers. Oh, for some perspective, that wouldn't be enough. The entire TNA roster could compete in the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal at WrestleMania, and it still wouldn't be 30 men.
Oh my God.
It would be 25 men and 5 women.
I'm booting up my EWR to see what the actual number is when the game starts.
The other problem is that they've fallen into the problem that WCW had, right? They did the whole thing of, well, they're former WWE stars, so they've got an established name. We'll hire them. Who left WWE and didn't touch TNA? Very few people. And, okay, when it started out, you had Jeff Jarrett found it, so of course he's going to be there. But Randy Savage was at the start. Okay, you need a couple of legends in order to give the promotion some validity and to get the name out there. I get that. But then Kurt Angle came, and I think he was the last major one where it was like, okay, you're getting a few too many of these guys now. And then just more came, and more kept coming, and coming, and coming, and coming. And it was just like they made a stable out of former WCW guys. Basically, and Kurt Angle. That was it. Right? It was like Booker T, Kevin Nash, Scott Steiner, Kurt Angle. It was too much. It was the people that we'd seen all over WWE and WCW since the 90s.
Here's the worry.
They didn't have their own stars, really.
But this is the thing. Like, in my article, which I will slightly spoil, is...
There you go, another one.
Number two! Anyway, so I quote Paul Heyman in an interview he did in 2010. So this was the same time that TNA had just lost this war. And
so this is really when they started going on the downturn.
Well, yeah, this is like Paul Heyman revealed that TNA contacted him to just run the whole thing. And he went, the thing that TNA has done is they've marketed everyone else but themselves. Because you remember at this time, they had the ECW reunion show for some reason.
Oh, and yeah, WWE had one or something.
Yeah, so they had their own, and they just didn't market anyone. They said they brought in all these old fuckers, and they haven't added anything. And then in the most recent one he did with Ariel Helwani, he went, well, TNA brought in Kurt Angle, Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan,
Mick Foley. Dudleys,
Mick Foley, Jeff Hardy, Matt Hardy,
Rhino.
Right. See, they brought all these people in. He says, did they make an impact? Pardon the pun. No, they didn't, because they didn't fucking use them. And then, like, they go away, and now you have no one left. Which is now my bit I'm adding in. Like, now you have no one left. They basically, they were like parasites. You brought in a load of parasites. They've now just fucking used you, and now they're gone, and you've left with a fucking corpse. That's what you have left is TNA.
Well, let's just have a look at, like, the main event of TNA currently, right? You have Drew Galloway, who was Drew McIntyre in WWE. You have Matt Hardy, who is with Tyrus, who was Brodus Clay in WWE. You have Eric Carter III, who was Derek Bateman. In WWE. Have you seen the pattern yet?
And here's the thing, right? At this point, TNA has, off the top of my head, two homegrown talents left, and they are Abyss and James Storm.
Yep, that's it.
Both of them are in tag teams.
Yep.
Abyss is the tag team champion with a guy named Crazy Steve. This is how you treat your homegrown stars.
And even James Storm left at one even point. James Storm. This is the only one who stuck as being loyal. And I don't know why. He got contacted once to do a program with The Undertaker and he turned it down for some reason.
Here's the thing about James Storm, right? James Storm leaves TNA, has two matches in NXT. TNA are like, baby, please come home. I've made your favorite dinner. We'll offer you twice the amount of money that WWE will.
And it's guaranteed.
James Storm goes back to TNA. They lock him into a contract, and they reform Beer Money to the excitement of everybody.
You mean the several dozen people in the crowd?
Right.
All 10 of them.
The 10 people that are at Impact tapings. They excited all of them.
At,
right?
At this point, they need mirrors just generally everywhere. They do.
My favorite idea that we've ever had is getting tumbleweed and putting it in human clothing to substitute the TNA audience, right?
I dropped tea at the wrong time.
Right. But they've reformed Beer Money. Everyone, all 10 people are excited, right? They've locked James Storm in to stay with TNA for, let's say, a year or 2 years, however long his contract is.
Forever.
They didn't think to lock in Bobby Roode. So Bobby Roode goes, Beer Money lose the tag titles that they just won to Abyss and Crazy Steve. James Storm, sorry about your damn luck, buddy. That worked out well for you, didn't it?
So does this mean that James Storm is now going to go back to pushing Mickey James in front of a train? Because that's a storyline we all really want to see again, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if she worked there, then by all means.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I forgot that. But also, another former WWE employee. There you go.
I don't get how this thing still is a thing. I don't, like...
Great sentence, Andy. I don't get how this thing is still a thing.
Number three! I don't understand how this company still exists. Like, seriously, though, I don't get it. Like... All they do is do the same things over and over again, and then they don't learn from them, and they just presume that everything's going to be A-okay. I don't get it. No wonder Panda Energy are not actually funding this thing anymore.
Ah. Well, okay, so that begs the question. If Panda Energy aren't funding TNA, how is it alive outside of a contract with Lucifer himself?
Apparently, like, they're not funding it properly. I don't know what they... Like, according to Meltzer, that's why they were looking for people to come in to, like, finance... investors to come in and actually, like, put money into it. Because Panda Energy, like, no, we're not doing this anymore. This is stupid. Why the fuck would anyone want to do this? This has been losing us money for over 10 years. No, we're not doing it anymore. Either Dixie's got a bit of money or Billy Corgan is, like, funding it. I don't know.
No, Billy Corgan, what he does is after the show, he just, they all go to a bar and he just spends the next hour playing his guitar. That's a fact. He does that. Jerry Borash is like, oh yeah, backstage is so chill because after a show, we go to a bar and Billy just plays music and it's just so amazing. Fuck off, Borash, you knob.
Yeah, I...
What the hell is that?
It's
like John Laurinaitis playing the organ after Raw.
Oh, God.
Oh, the backstage environment is so chill because Billy Corgan plays Wonderwall on his guitar. What? What kind of company are you?
I find it ironic that he's a lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins. Why doesn't he just start playing Doomsday Clock and just go, Dixie, this is a metaphor for your company, LOL. Mm.
Do you remember my album, Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness? That's what TNA stands for.
What the fuck? Like, seriously, though?
But I feel like we're not talking enough about these two men that are currently leaving. Bobby Roode and Eric Young.
Well,
NXT bound, maybe?
Well, the thing about Eric Young, and I just want to talk about his TNA career to start off with, right?
Of course.
And really, when you kind of look at Eric Young's career in TNA over like a long cool period, you can't help but think maybe the guy's caught on just to how stupid it's all been. So the guy starts off with Bobby Roode in Team Canada, right? And that was a decent stable. That was one of my... That's the first major stable, I believe, in TNA, right? And they were huge. That was kind of like their NWO, but they did it right. And it wasn't just a bunch of punks. It was Canada. Anyway, it was very good. And I would suggest watching that sort of stuff again if it ever comes back around. But then they split up, and Bobby Roode went off to be a Ted DiBiase character, and Eric Young then went on to be a buffoon.
Yeah, a complete idiot.
Right? So he went to the point where even in the TNA game, which has Kevin Nash in it, which is really weird, right? Your character forms a tag team with Eric Young. I know this isn't canon, but I'm sticking with it for a minute. You form a tag team called the Salty Biscuits. Right? This is the kind of level that they were putting Eric Young at. He was supposed to be young, naive, and an idiot. He got scared by his own pyro. Right, that was the whole joke. Anytime his pyro went off, he was like, oh, 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 oh. Like, that was the joke. And then I don't really remember much what happened to Eric Young because I didn't watch it for a couple of years. And then the next thing I knew, he was one half of the Knockouts Tag Team Champions. That's right, a tag team belt for women.
I can fill you in on what happened between then.
Okay, go on.
His gimmick was that he didn't want to be fired and he was paranoid that he was going to be fired, to the point where he had a shirt that said, "Don't fire Eric." I find that deeply ironic now, because you didn't fire him, he fucking left himself. But I move on. That's what he was doing during that time. He used to piss himself when his own pyro went off. You know, it goes off like 500 times a fucking year, and he goes, "Bah!" And then, like, shit his pants.
Yeah, you think maybe after the fifth week of doing that, he might come to expect it?
By the way,
That's the joke, though, Sam. That's the joke, Sam.
Oh, that was meant to be funny. I forgot.
That's the joke.
Liam, did you say in the game they were called Salty Biscuits?
You and Eric Young form a tag team called the Salty Biscuits.
Is it a salty biscuit like something unsavory you do with a biscuit? Like,
no, that's wet biscuit, Andy.
What are you thinking of, Andy?
Never mind.
He's thinking of wet biscuit. For some reason, number four.
I thought that's what it was called. It'd be salty, I guess. I don't know.
So he says that he doesn't want to be fired, and then suddenly, the next thing I know, he's one half of the women's tag team champions with his girlfriend ODB, and they hold on for a year to the point where they hold on for so long and they didn't do anything with it, where they just vacated the title and the belts forgot to ever exist.
Yep.
And then they turned him into their version of Daniel Bryan. No word of the joke. He grew his beard and he was the underdog and he came out as a world champion. Honestly, right? That's not even a word of a lie. This was their reaction to Daniel Bryan. They just turned Eric Young into a clone of him. And then he turned into this really random mean streak. Which, when you think about it, when 10 years ago he's getting scared by his own pyro, it doesn't make sense.
The man who was formerly in a tag team called the Salty Biscuits, the man who is at one time scared of his own pyro, this man is now stealing prosthetic legs from war veterans.
Yeah, and he's going out saying, "I will beat the crap out of Kurt Angle."
And which only he did, 10 years, and he still lost.
But 10 years ago, he was a complete and utter buffoon. It doesn't make sense from a character point, and surely he's realised this. I don't mind if they've turned Eric Young into a serious character, but you can't have... It's like, remember Eugene? You can't have Eugene going, hey, I'm Eugene, and then the next thing, he's beating the living crap out of John Cena. I mean, it'd be kind of awesome, but it doesn't make sense.
It would be funny. But John Cena's one weakness, savants. Who'd have thought? That's why he does all those Make-A-Wish Foundation visits. To keep him strong.
He feeds off their disability. Sorry, anyway, moving on.
We set off the Andy alarm. Sorry.
That set it off.
Moving on, though. Yeah, you can't help but think that he's kind of just realised just how stupid it's all been. And Bobby Roode, I don't think he's had his bad time. I think his character has been generally consistent over the years.
When he was generally. Doing that Rich gimmick was wank. It was really bad.
Yeah, but the thing is, you'll always have that in some incarnation, shape or form. You look at how Alberto Del Rio debuted, and he came out to cars and his own personal ring announcer. There will always be an incarnation of the Rich Wrestler. Ted DiBiase started it. There will always be an incarnation.
I'm not saying the gimmick's bad. It was just when he did it, it was pretty bad.
Then
he changed his name to Bobby for some reason.
I don't think it's that bad. I don't think it's that bad, to be honest. I've seen far worse in TNA.
I've seen AJ Styles pretend to be Ric Flair, okay?
Yeah.
There was Jay Lethal who tried to be Randy Savage.
But you could do a good Randy Savage impression.
He could do a good Ric Flair impression.
Come on, he's doing... Look, anyway, we're going way off topic. That's not the point. The point is, I didn't actually mind Bobby Roode, and I think he's had a more consistent character over the years.
He was a good heel champion, especially when he had to fight Joker Sting.
Oh, God. See, this
he
is what
had
I mean!
To put up with that.
This is what I mean.
Joker's thing was pretty shit.
Do you think, if Bobby Roode did go to WWE, and he encounters Sting in the halls, it would be a bit awkward?
Will he be like, I'm going to put on my boots. I'm going to put on my face paint.
I think that's why Sting and Bubba Ray haven't shared a show yet.
Because it's a bit weird.
A bit awkward.
There's a reason why Sting has only ever been involved with Triple H and Seth Rollins.
Yes, exactly.
And John Cena and Randy Orton.
But essentially, what does this actually mean for TNA now that they've lost another two of their homegrown stars? I mean, they've lost AJ Styles, who was there with them since day one. They've lost Austin Aries. They've lost Samoa Joe. They've lost so many of these characters. I mean, Jay Lethal, he's now with ROH. What does this mean for TNA? I mean... I'm not going to say that they're going out of business because we've been saying that for years to the point where we've even stopped saying it because it's just like, this is the company that will not die simply just to spite us. And I think they're alive simply to spite the Supla. Right? That is my theory.
Yeah, that's it. That's the only reason. Dixie's like, these British pricks keep taking the piss out of us, so we're keeping this thing alive until we literally have no money left.
Yeah. I think
At which point we will buy TNA. And keep it alive ourselves, just so we can complain about it.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the plan.
Get ready to see World Heavyweight Champion Barry very soon.
That's better than fucking who they have now.
Drew Gallows.
Drew Galloway isn't actually terrible.
No,
he's actually very good.
WWE dropped the ball with him, and I will always say that.
They definitely did.
But they've capitalized, but at the same time, he's a former WWE guy.
He is, plain and simple.
I know you mentioned Derek Bateman EC3.
Mm.
I would argue that the only good thing they've done in the past few years is EC3.
EC3,
yeah,
I disagree.
No,
he took a shit guy and made him good.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they didn't, but he was a WWE guy. Okay, he didn't make it to the main roster. He was on a crappy form of NXT where it was like this... It wasn't even like... It was in this weird limbo where it was like a third brand, but wasn't the third brand. It wasn't quite the reality show, whatever. It was just
It
stupid.
Just existed.
It
you
was
know,
there
it was
because
just
they
there.
Had to fill a quota, right? And they were building the show around him, and it was crap, and everyone hated it, and it was a waste of time. They've made EC3 into a legit star. And I'm not saying that they're not, but he was a WWE guy. And it's not like he just spent time in FCW where no one saw him. He was on an actual show in front of, you know, he was in stadiums or arenas for WWE. He's a WWE guy. And that's what I mean. Bobby Lashley. They're all the main event players are WWE guys.
Because all their homegrown talent has left, except for Abyss.
Yeah, literally, Abyss and James Storm are the only two.
But even he left for a little while.
Yeah.
Even James Storm left for a little while. So really, the only consistent character throughout TNA, no matter how bad it gets, is Abyss.
Yeah.
What does that say about your company?
But, so let's just say, what does this really mean for TNA in the long term? Because I think it can't be a good sign that these most loyal employees who have stuck with the brand for years and years, even they're leaving and saying it's stale. What do you guys think is the future of TNA at this rate?
There is no future.
There is very little future, to be honest. I'm just sitting back in my chair and I'm waiting. I'm waiting for it to go. And the fact is, I keep seeing all of these news reports that all of these stars are signing new contracts with TNA. Mike Bennett went to TNA. The Legionnaires, Sylvester LaFleur and Marcus Louis, they went to TNA. All of these new people, Cherry Bomb, the women indie wrestler, is now in TNA. And I gotta think to myself, guys, what are you thinking? Have you not seen TNA fall apart over the course of 2 years? Why are you going there? What could be there for these people?
I mean, when you say fall apart, you mean, like, literally, it is a company that is falling apart. The networks don't really want it. Their parent companies basically disowned it. I don't understand why. I mean, I don't know. I don't know how they are making profits, because they are barely selling out shows, and they're not even in massive stadiums anymore. And even if they are, they give away tickets for free to try and fill it out. I don't know how they're making a profit.
And the thing is, people like Mike Bennett are actually...
And sorry, can I just say, there's another one thing, right?
Yeah.
Their announced team of Elijah Burke, I forgot his TNA name.
D'Angelo De Niro, the Pope.
The Pope, right? The Pope and Josh Matthews, again, former WWE guys, not like they had Mike Tenay and Don West, who were actually... Okay, yeah, Mike Tenay was a former WCW guy, but Don West, literally, the guy would orgasm at anything. It was amazing.
Like, oh my God, a punch!
It's like, oh my God, Tenay, he's walking to the ring! Oh my God! Like,
oh my God, a suplex, most deadly move in TNA!
That's the sort of enthusiasm we want. It was amazing. But they've got rid of them, and now we have former WWE guys again. But not just that, they're not even at ringside anymore. They do their commentary post, in fucking wherever they are, Nashville.
Inside the big blue box they keep at Nashville. Because they stand in front of the green screen and they react to things that have already happened, even though they've clearly just been told about it 5 minutes earlier by the production assistant.
Even have their commentators at the event live to get their live reactions. They can't even do... They're like, we've got like 4 years worth of tapings here, guys. Right? Got 4 years worth of tapings. Just sit down and watch them all and we'll just get your reactions there. But I've read it online. Doesn't give a shit.
I've read it online already. God.
Do you think the Fine Bros could sue TNA for stealing their React concept?
That's basically what it is. It's not a commentary. It's a React video. It is literally a two-hour React video.
Here's the saddest thing of all, right? I recently, out of boredom, watched, because TNA put it online themselves, the main event of Bound for Glory 2005, which had Sting versus Jeff Jarrett, and Kurt Angle was like an enforcer. They just brought Kurt in. Mm-hmm. The company looks amazing. They're in this amazing arena. They've got a huge stage. They have a great roster of people. It looks really good.
And
it
they
looks,
have lasers. They have smoke.
A pyro. It looked professional. It looked like an up-and-coming company. What happened?
I'll tell you what happened. Everything.
And that's the problem. And it's sad, because you had Mike Tenay and Don West. There's one moment in the match where Jeff Jarrett gets his guitar and smacks Sting over the head with it. And Sting just, like, stands there, starts doing the, like, I'm King Kong, pound, like, pounces his chest and shit. And he's like doing, like, that weird, like, I'm flexing my muscles pose. Don West is having a fucking orgasm at this. The crowd are going fucking mental. And Mike Tyson's like, and everyone's going fucking mad. And it's a great moment. And you think, my God, what went wrong? You had something, clearly, and you fucked it up really bad.
Similar story on my end. Sorry, I was watching
I
a match.
Say, can I just say, oh. Can we please get Andy to do commentary over matches?
Oh, can we please? Oh, can we please? What was the year when Shawn Michaels descended from the heavens at WrestleMania? What year was that?
2025, so go back to, like... Oh, that one, where he came down as God.
Yeah, he literally descended as God. Can we get Andy commentary over that? He's doing the thing where he raises his arms and he's pretending he's God. And everyone's like,
I am God!
Andy as a commentator would be the best thing ever. He would make... Honestly, right, I tell you what, here's your plan, TNA. You can have this one for free, right, because I want it to happen so badly. Put TNA on your commentary team. Not TNA, put Andy, right, on your commentary team.
Just have you two there. You'll be like the old Muppets from The Muppets. You would just criticise everything. I would love it.
I think just Andy alone could carry it, just by himself.
You want Josh Matthews?
No, just you.
Just me.
Just Crazy Steve comes out and Andy says, oh, for fuck's sake, what a fuck.
He's a fucking clown. What is this shit? The decay. What the hell is this shit, Dixie?
That's my favourite thing, right? That's my favourite thing to imagine. Like, the decay music hits, but da-na-na-na, and then he goes, oh, for fuck's sake. And he makes that sound he makes when he throws off his headset, and he's like, I'm done! I'm done!
My favourite would be is that he had to reenact all their theme songs of all the wrestlers. And then when somebody does something, like, so someone's get like the babyface is getting beaten down by the heel, and then the babyface comes back, and then you just go, oh, he's come back! Da 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 da
da da. My God, it's EC3. Double, 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 double,
double, double.
You just can't say what trouble, you say double, double.
You know what? For the final TNA episode ever.
It's Rockstar Spud.
For the final TNA episode ever, I want to be a part of that commentary team. Like, just on my own, going, ladies and gentlemen, this is the final TNA episode. And it just cuts to, like,
well, to be honest, Andy, right, if you grew like a couple of feet and then you put on a suit and like went off on Twitter, you could easily be mistaken for Josh Matthews.
Yes,
to be fair, I probably could, yeah,
very easily. I'm gonna look into that and see if we can actually make this a thing.
We can, but as I was saying earlier before we went off on a weird tangent, I was watching a match, and it was between two of my favorite wrestlers, AJ Styles, and the fucking king of New Japan, Hiroshi Tanahashi. The biggest star in the other side of the planet, alright?
Right.
You know, I didn't know who he was.
Right. You had a partnership with New Japan at one point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they?
People would kill to have a partnership with New Japan now. But the way they treated the people who went there on excursion, it just got them into a rut where it's like, you have two homegrown stars. One of them went away for like 5 minutes, and then he came back after you trapped him with more money. So, to some extent, you gotta feel happy that Bobby Roode and Eric Young are finally jumping ship. And maybe, hopefully, as Dave Meltzer rumors, go into WWE.
It's kind of like when you see, you know, when those Chilean miners got lost down in the mine after the collapse, and then they got out and everyone clapped and cried and cheered. It was the most amazing day ever. That's what they must be feeling like. They must be feeling like those Chilean miners coming out of the hole.
They've been stuck underground for 12 years.
I mean, that's a long time.
Having to face Sting, having to face the main event Mafia, having to pretend to be Daniel Bryan, and now they're free. They're free to go and do whatever it is they want to do. And I, hopefully, want to see him in NXT.
And I think on that note, I think we should probably end the show there.
We should. Also, so, because we lost Andy in the fire of the internet.
Oh, brilliant. So it's just me and Sam closing this.
It is indeed. And I gotta ask, everybody at home, what are your thoughts and feelings towards Bobby Roode and Eric Young leaving TNA? Is TNA gonna die this year? Maybe this year? Hopefully this year? Let us know in the comments below.
And also, let us know, what would you do to make TNA better? I said I'd put Andy as the commentary team, just him by himself. That's what I would do to make the product better. But what would you do?
Let us know in the comments below. You can also go to supla.com, where we have a variety of good articles. These two have written articles, Liam and Andy. I believe Andy has his first ever edition of Quan's Corner.
He plugged that at the start of the show, yes.
He did. And Liam, what did you write for the website recently?
I wrote an incredibly long article about the history of John Cena at WrestleMania and went through each one of his matches, what led to it, and what happened after. You'd be quite surprised. A lot of them actually tie into each other. Like, there's an overarching storyline between a lot of WrestleManias for John Cena. The other surprising thing was that John Cena had his first non-title match at WrestleMania at WrestleMania 28. Bearing in mind, his debut was at WrestleMania 20. So between 20 to 27, he was in a championship match every WrestleMania.
For 7 years straight.
Yes, and he's only lost 3 times at the event out of 12.
Three times.
So
you can read more about that on supla.com. You can also get host biographies and MP3 downloads of this show.
There you go. As well as some little hidden songs that we've created over the years.
Yes, indeed. You can also go to WrestlePundit.com for all the latest memes and rumors and news in wrestling. You can also find us on iTunes, even though it doesn't work. We're still there anyway. Oh, Andy's back. Great, you interrupted me during the plugs.
Oh, we're finishing show. Okay, sorry.
Yes, we are. You can also follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and follow us on Instagram. Search for Supla, and you'll find us. Mm-hmm. And you can also go get some lovely Supla shirts over at redbubble.com/people/thesupla.
And I must say, they look very good on absolutely everybody. So there is no excuse to not buy one.
No excuse. Except for, you know, living in a cardboard box. So I don't quite know how you're watching the show.
Not an excuse. You want to look stylish? Not an excuse. You want to look stylish while being homeless? Get a Supla shirt. There you go.
Style and profile and not be in a house.
Can be like Ric Flair. You might be homeless, but fuck it. You've got a Supla shirt on. People think you're cool. Those who know it.
The only home you'll ever need is in a Supla shirt.
There you go. That's the tagline for the shop.
There you go. And if you missed any of that, it will be in the description for you. So what will happen next week on the Supla? Will Andy's riddle streak go up? Yes. Will we complain about things? Yes. Will Andy go offline randomly? Yes, he will.
And don't forget
that and more next week.
It's also the last show before WrestleMania.
Oh my God, we're at Suplamania, right?
Suplamania.
There you go. We're nearly there.
Nearly ready for Suplamania. Our second, third biggest show of the year, I think.
Yeah. We have a lot of big shows every year. Yes. You know, it gets hard to keep track. But I've been Sam Brooks. We've also had Andy Kwan. And who have you been?
I've been Liam Dunn, and still am Liam Dunn.
Still am, and will probably always be, unfortunately. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
So, why is it?